We're going to look at the subject of peace, and we're going to do a bit of a romp through the Bible, as I think I'd normally do a bit of that sort of thing. So we're looking at peace and how it was in the beginning, what goes wrong, and where we can end up to, where we can end up eventually. So remember the Hebrew word for peace. Anybody tell me the Hebrew word for peace? Shalom. Well done. Lots of you know that. Shalom. And so peace. So shalom, I think that means completeness, soundness, tranquil, calm, friendship, health, and prosperity. So it's not just a sort of a flimsy little thing. You know, it's a real solid word there that we're looking at today. And let's just look in Genesis 1, verse 31. I don't think I've asked any of you to read that, have I? 1:31. No, I got another one in Genesis 2, I think. 3, Genesis 3. So Genesis 1, 31. Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was excellent in every way. And therefore there was peace. It was excellent in every way. What God had made in the beginning. He'd made all the animals, he'd made the world, the sea, the sky, and everything in them. He'd made Adam and Eve too, and everything was excellent in every way. And so there was peace, there was completeness with God. You know, Adam and Eve walked with God in the Garden of Eden. There was excellence, there was soundness. You know, if you've got a piece of wood, you're not sure if it's rotten in the middle or not, so you can whack it with a hammer or bang it on the ground and you listen to see if it's a sound piece of wood. And if it's sound, then it's excellent. My Bible was just saying God saw it was excellent in every way. Tranquil and calmness in the Garden of Eden with God. You can just imagine that, can't you? That beautiful, beautiful place with God. And how tranquil and calm that could be. The friendship would have been there. Friendship between Adam and Eve. Friendship with God. You know, there was no bad feelings. There was no difficult relationships. There was friendship. And it was very, very good. There was health. There was no disease in the Garden of Eden. There was perfect health. And there was prosperity. There was plenty of food to eat. You know, God was there. They didn't need money. They had so much to eat and to enjoy. Life was prosperous. And it was just totally, totally peaceful, totally shalom, shalom. But as we know, we turn a few pages of the Bible and something bad happens. And so could somebody read chapter 3, verses 6 to 11?
The woman saw that the tree's fruit was good to eat and pleasing to look at. She also saw that it would make a person wise. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. She also gave some of her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then both of them knew things they had never knew before. They realized they were naked. So they sewed together fig leaves and made clothes for them, sleeves. Then the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking in the garden. It was during the coolest times of the day. They hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called out to the man, "Where are you?" he asked. "I heard you in the garden," the man answered. "I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid," the Lord God said.
Yes, and so we see this big change suddenly come into this amazingly peaceful situation. And we see that Adam and Eve were suddenly afraid. Something had really changed, and this was simply because they had disobeyed God. That peace was gone, and now they were afraid, so they hid themselves. They made clothes to cover themselves because they felt shame. And we know that there were various punishments with the snake in Adam and Eve had to endure. And the biggest one of all, I think, was that they were banished from the Garden of Eden. They couldn't stay in this place of peacefulness. they weren't allowed anymore. They couldn't continue to eat from the tree of the fruit of the tree of life. And so that day death came in. They didn't die straight away. They're kind of like us adults, you know, we feel parts of ourselves dying, you know, they don't quite work the same as they used to, and it's a bit of a long process. But that was what Adam and Eve started to do on that day. They started to die, and death and disease and decay came in. Life was only temporary from then on, and things went from bad to worse, really. We know that soon their children, Cain and Abel, were fighting, and Cain kills Abel. And it carries on and gets really bad. And in the end, God says, I'm going to flood the world and start, wash it clean and start all over again. And so Noah builds his ark, and he is the only one who's saved to start all over again. And then the Genesis 12, has somebody got a read in Genesis 12? We go in and God starts his plan with Abraham. Is it 1 to something?
1 to 5.
1 to 5.
In my Bible, it stops in the middle of a sentence.
Well, just read the rest of the sentence.
Okay. The Lord had said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relative, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be blessed to others. And I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, and all his wealth, his livestock, and all the people he had taken into his household at Haran, and headed for the land of Canaan. When they arrived in Canaan, Abraham travelled through the land as far as Shechem.
Okay, thank you. That's the trouble with Bible reading. They have some funny names in there, don't they? That I certainly struggle with. So God says and chooses Abraham, and he says, do you know what? I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you into a huge nation, and that is going to receive, that nation is going to receive God's blessing. It's going to receive God's peace. That peace that was lost at Garden of Eden, there's a good chance that we can get that peace back. And so God established a nation of Israel through Abraham. And we have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jacob's 12 sons. You know, they go down to Egypt to live, don't they? Because there's a famine around with Joseph. And they're there for 400 years. They're out of this land. But they get back to the land of Israel. Moses brings the people back there. And God blesses the nation of Israel. And he gives them this good land. This good land. This peaceful land. Milk and honey. That they can live in. They can experience God's peace. And you know, sometimes they follow God and have this peace. And other times they don't follow God and they don't have that peace. And it seems like, you know, same for us today. You know, we I'm sure we have this sort of God-shaped hole inside of us which needs to be filled with God. And when we put other stuff in there, we find it doesn't satisfy us. You know, it's okay for a while, but it doesn't bring that peace, that wholeness, that shalom which we need in our lives. And we know with the land of Israel, there were good kings and bad kings, and prophets speak and try and bring the people back to God, and to various success rates. The peace is available, but do the people take up the availability of that peace? And so 2 Chronicles 14, 1-7 says, when Abijah died, he was buried in the city of David. Then his son Asa became the next king. There was peace in the land for 10 years. So Asa did what was pleasing and good in the sight of the Lord his God. He removed the pagan altars and shrines. He smashed the sacred pillars and cut down the Asherah poles. He commanded the people of Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and to obey his law and commandments. Asa also removed the pagan shrines as well as the incense altars from every one of Judah's towns. So Asa's kingdom enjoyed a period of peace. During those peaceful years, he was able to build the fortified cities throughout Judah. We leave it there. And so this king Asa, he followed God and he received this peace. There was peace in the land and it was a good place to live. But you know, Asa's problem was that he wasn't perfect. He was like us. You know, he has good days and bad days. And there was good years in his reigns and bad years. And peace was available, but it wasn't quite like the peace in the Garden of Eden. Because King Asa wasn't perfect. The people weren't perfect. And to have that perfect peace, the people needed to be perfect, keeping the law perfectly. And as we know, we would like to and we try to, but we cannot manage that because we're not perfect people. And every now and again, you know, our faults are shown up. And I guess it was a bit like that with me last night. A young child came along and grabbed hold of the electric fence around our place and obviously got a big shock. And his parents weren't too happy that I had neglected putting signs up and he was able to get there. And so it showed up that I'd failed again on this point. And so I had to say sorry and to do some work to make sure it wouldn't happen again. You see, the peace was shattered. And just like King Asa, if we read on about him, I don't think he manages to keep up his good works for all the time he was king. And so we have this peace, but it's only there for a while because we can't manage it all the time. However, we move on to Isaiah. We looked at this passage last week on the Zoom. Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 6, and Isaiah starts prophesying about, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his royal titles will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." His ever-expanding peaceful government will never end. He will rule forever with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David. The passionate commitment of the Lord Almighty will guarantee this. Isaiah starts prophesying about this Prince of Peace coming. And as I said last week, Jesus came. But these bits didn't get fulfilled. And so we're looking at Jesus' second coming for those to be fulfilled. But Jesus was Prince of Peace. And there is hope. As we thought about last week, there is hope that things will improve. Did you catch that last couple of lines of our hymn there? There is children gather round, bright like stars with glory crowned. Isn't that amazing? We're going to think a bit more about that shortly. We move on. We see Jesus born. Luke 2 verse 14. Luke 2 14 says, "Glory to God in the highest and peace to all whom God favours." This is the angels telling the shepherds. They're just rejoicing that Jesus has been born. And they're saying, glory to God and peace on earth. Peace on earth. And really, really sadly, we know that the Jewish nation rejected Jesus, the Prince of Peace. They rejected him and they crucified him. They nailed him to a cross. But Jesus did bring peace through that crucifixion for those who believed that he took their punishment. And so can we read Philippians 4, 7, please, Aston? Philippians 4, 7. Is it 7 and 8? Is it?
"And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if
if there is any excellence, if there is anything you're worthy of praise, think about these things.
So that incredible reading by the Apostle Paul, in my version it says, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. That was verse 6. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So this is incredibly practical teaching that Paul has given us. He's saying, don't worry. Just pray to God about all those things that you feel like worrying about. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done for you. And when you do this, you will experience God's peace. Which is mind-blowing, basically it's saying. And this peace will guard our hearts and our minds as we live in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, which is? Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. That's what this verse is saying. Give our cares to God. Give them to God. Tell God about them and leave them there. And we will have this peace that God wants to give us. And so we experience this peace in a spiritual way. So often we trip up and we our earthly nature, our sinful nature gets us down and we lose that peace. But we can experience it totally in a spiritual way all the time. And we can give God our worries to experience it more and more and more of the time. And so this hole inside of us, this God-shaped hole inside of us, can be filled with spiritual God-filled peace. We can have peace with God because Jesus took the punishment of our sin on the cross. And that will guard our hearts and minds from this world's troubles. Jesus says in John 14, verse 27,
I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid.
Jesus was talking to his disciples and he said, don't be troubled or afraid. I'm going away. However, I'm leaving you with a gift of peace. The gift of peace of mind and heart. Not like this worldly peace, but so much better. So don't be troubled or afraid. And then he goes on to say, he says, remember, I've told you that I'm going away, but I will come back again. If you really love me, you'll be very happy for me because I can go to the Father and I will come back. And remember that when Jesus comes back that second time, there is going to be that amazing peace which he talked about. He will come as a Prince of Peace. He will come as a mighty God and peace will be with him, and peace will surround him and us together. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3 and 4.
And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people.
Thank you, Aston. And so we're seeing that this Garden of Eden of peace is being restored. The book of Revelation is telling us that. And God will be with his people, Garden of Eden style. No more death, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more crying. For the old world and its evils are gone forever. Peace is restored. So what about us in this Advent season, this second Sunday, third Sunday before Christmas? We're looking forward to celebrating the Prince of Peace, aren't we? We're celebrating Christmas. It's just this kind of great pinnacle in the year. And we can see that Jesus is filling this God-shaped hole inside of us. And so we look back and we see Philippians 4 saying, don't worry about anything. This is a practical application. Instead, pray to God about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than human mind can understand. And his peace will guard our hearts and minds when we live in Jesus Christ. Jew is going to sing us a song.
I have traveled many moonless nights, cold and weary, with a baby in sight, and I wonder what I've done. Holy Father, I am waiting in a silent prayer. I am frightened by the load I bear. In a world as cold as stone, must I walk this path of heaven. Do you wonder as you watch my face if a wiser one should have had strong, help me be, help me. Breath of heaven, hold me together, be forever near me. Of heaven.
So shall we move now to a time of prayer when we can tell God those things which worry us? We can thank him for what he's done for us, and we can experience God's peace as well. Okay, so if you'd like to look in your hymn books once more, and we have this final one, and it's very well known. It says, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll." So there's these two contrasts that come in, and the man who wrote it, he experienced really, really bad times in life. His business went up in smoke, I believe, and he lost his family in a shipwreck. But he's saying, "You have taught me to say it is well with my soul." And he knew it was well with his soul because he knew his sin, verse 3, was nailed to the cross of Jesus, and that he bore the problems of his sin no more. And he said, praise the Lord, O my soul. And then in verse 5, he's looking for Jesus coming back, restoring the Garden of Eden peace. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. O trump of the angel, O voice of the Lord, blessed hope, blessed rest for my soul. And now all glory be to God, who is able to keep you from stumbling, and who will bring you into his glorious presence, innocent of sin and with great joy. All glory to him who alone is God our Saviour through Jesus Christ. Yes, glory, majesty, power and authority belong to him in the beginning, now and forevermore. Amen.